Here's Forsberg, down the left side with a shot, save, rebound, score! It is knocked in, but waved off.
The whistle blew, Kenny. The referee never saw it. The puck was over on the other side. They're going to talk about this, and let's see if they don't reverse this, but I thought I heard the whistle blow on this play. Let's listen in.
The whistle had gone. We have no goal.
Subban into the slot, off the post from Sissons. Colton Sissons took the pass from P.K. Subban and hit the post, and now the Penguins clear. Schultz with a shot wide, comes hard off the end boards, and it's knocked in by Patrick Hornquist with a minute 35 remaining, giving the Pittsburgh Penguins a 1-0 lead. Arvidsson sends in deep, Dumoulin out of fair. What's the clear, and he does, pass Subban, reaching after it is Hagelin, moving in for the empty net, he scores! 10 seconds remaining. Subban with the puck. He will fire in. Wide to the right of Murray with 5 seconds. As the Penguins on their bench start to celebrate for the second straight season, the Pittsburgh Penguins are the Stanley Cup champions. Helmets, sticks, gloves flying everywhere as the Penguins mob Matt Murray. The first back-to-back Stanley Cup champs since the 97 and 98 Detroit Red Wings.
Well, no more hockey, but one more basketball game tonight. There's that. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESP is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. Let's have an awesome week. What's happening, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, Fowler. How are you?
I'm good. I was sorry to see your Preds go out last night.
Were you?
Yeah, I was.
I was, too. I was mostly sad to see them go out in the way in which they did. That was... Listen, I'm not like an expert on hockey. I've never claimed to be. I've watched the Predators play every game in this playoff run, and it's been fun. It just seems like a lot of things, like every time they needed a break to go their way, it didn't.
Yeah.
And it's hard to win when you're an 8 seed. They were literally the 16th team,
right,
in the playoffs.
Right.
Playing against the defending champions. To make it as far as they did is awesome, but if you're going to beat that team, you had to get some breaks. And every time they needed a break, it went the other way. And that, you know, it's easy to say, like, well, if that goal would have counted, it's 1-1. Who knows what happens? But I don't know.
It changes the entire game.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. It's like taking away a touchdown. Like, the game could swing one way or the other.
Yeah, Nashville might open it up more. Pittsburgh might have to open it up more,
yeah,
which creates more opportunities. So,
but I what I didn't understand is why that referee would blow the whistle when he did, and I understand, like, why they couldn't change it.
Right,
like that part it makes sense, but I didn't understand the justification of blowing that whistle.
It was basically a bad call, and it was unfortunate because it did cost them a goal. And it happened. It's the kind of thing that happens maybe 2 or 3 times a week during the season, where they blow the whistle too early, and where it looks like the puck's covered up, and he was out of position. And I thought he blew the whistle way too fast. Usually, you make sure.
I mean, the goalie's still, like, actively searching for the puck. That should be your first hint that it's not covered up.
Yeah, but they're basically supposed to blow the whistle if they can't see the puck. And in that case, you know, so he did pretty much what he was trained to do, but he did it, in my opinion, way too fast. And you don't want to see game six of a Stanley Cup decided by that. And it doesn't mean that they were going to go on and win the game, but it sure means it's a different game.
Yeah.
And then I felt bad because the goal that essentially won it, the Hornquist goal, was...
That's the flukiest thing.
Yeah, and that's... You get to a 0-0 game that late. Man, I wanted to see Sid Crosby do something brilliant or P.K. Subban do something brilliant. The last thing you want to see is a dirty goal where... Yeah, it's basically just banging in off the back of the goalie. And, I mean, that's part of it. That's what can happen. Yeah. And that's why that other goal was so important. But, you know, and then the empty netter doesn't really mean much. So I thought it was a hell of a game, but you're right. Nashville didn't get the breaks. Pittsburgh, more talented team, no question.
For sure. I mean, well, also Nashville's best player was out.
To be fair, they're more talented
to begin with, but even more so.
But Pittsburgh was also playing without by far its best defenseman and the guy who would be on the ice for them the most. So I think that was...
But didn't they play like half the season without him?
No, they played basically the last couple of weeks of the season without him.
Okay.
And he was out off and on all year, but that's a huge difference maker. But the reality is, I mean, Nashville had a great run, and, you know, the thing about Pittsburgh, they remind me a lot of those good Chicago teams. The later you get in a series with them, the better they get. And that's coaching, and that's the players adjusting. And to win back-to-back Stanley Cups in this salary cap atmosphere is phenomenal. I mean, it's really hard to do. You've got to have your star players that you've got locked up, and then you've constantly got to be churning in new guys, and that's what they've done the last 2 years. And it'll be interesting to see what happens going into next year, you know, because they're going to lose some more guys. And this is what happened to Chicago. It's just year after year you lose guys, sometimes young players that you just can't afford to pay. And they're going to get into that position too. But it was exciting to watch. It was a great run by Nashville. I was glad to see, you know, Nashville get a lot of attention and the fan base get a lot of attention. And, you know, and Sidney Crosby, it's funny. He always kind of gets compared to LeBron. And I think it's a fair comparison because he's the best player in the league.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at the Stanley Cups. Oh, well, he'd only won one. Then now he's only won two. Well, now he's won three. You're getting into some rarefied air there, and it's so much harder to win a Stanley Cup than it is an NBA championship because one great player can impact five guys in basketball a lot more than one great player can in hockey. And so for him to do that is pretty amazing. And, man, there were so many little plays that the Penguins made. And this is one that's probably way too much inside stuff, but it's one of the reasons why I love the sport. In every sport, there's these subtle plays sometimes that make huge differences. When Nashville had the 5-on-3 – and the faceoff is in the Pittsburgh zone,
mm-hmm.
and 40-year-old Matt Cullen wins the faceoff, and they get it cleared. I mean, that takes almost 20 seconds off of a 32-second 5-on-3, and it's just one little play during the course of a game, but it's the kind of play you make if you're going to win a Stanley Cup, to win that faceoff and get that puck out of your zone, because it's hard to stop a 5-on-3. And that was the other thing that I think cost the Predators. They weren't good on the power play last night. They went two games without scoring a goal, and even if you give them the one, that's two games with one goal. And that's just not good enough to get it done. And I would have liked to have seen a game seven. I really thought they were going to win at home. But
well, I mean, this game and then game one, I think they were the better team. And they didn't get those breaks, like I was saying.
They were better. They were the better team earlier in the series, for sure. And I thought they were better last night.
They had way more chances last night than Pittsburgh did.
Yeah.
Although, like, clean chances,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, they had better scoring chances. And Pittsburgh puts a lot of pucks on net, but that's what they do. I mean, they're not always great scoring chances. They'll just put it on net, try to get a rebound, try to get a trash goal.
Well, and it worked.
Exactly.
That's how they won.
But it's also to watch that team, and what a great job Sullivan's done since he took over as head coach 18 months ago, I think, and then now won two cups. My favorite stat, Matt Murray is still a rookie, and he has two Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
Because he only played a few regular season games last year. And he carried them through the playoffs. But and the other thing that's interesting to me is, you know, going back to the LeBron comparison, a guy like Phil Kessel is kind of like Kevin Love. And when he's the best player on your team, and I know this because he was the best player on the Leafs for several years, your team's not very good. He'll put up some numbers. But when he's your third or fourth best player,
you're in good shape. Then
he's fantastic. And that's it, he doesn't have to be the man. I mean, everybody knows who the man is, and it's easy to dislike Sid Crosby, but I don't think he should have won the Conn Smythe last year. I've been on record as saying that, but you know, this year, just watching the little things he does, and he really is a great player. He's only in his 30s. He's got a lot of opportunity to add to his numbers before he retires. And I think he's already in the conversation for top five, in the top five of all time.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know exactly where I'd put him in there because his career's not over, but pretty amazing. And your Preds aren't going anywhere. They've got the one thing that every team covets, which is elite defensemen. And they've got three elite defensemen on that team. And Ryan Ellis was hurt last night. You could tell he played his ass off, played a lot of minutes, but he wasn't right. But when you get three elite defensemen to build around, you're going to be fine. That's why they're in the playoffs every year, and I would anticipate them making another run.
This should, in my opinion, kind of force their hand to go out and make some big plays in the offseason, because clearly they've got a pretty good base, but I still think you need to have some sort of elite frontline scorer, and they don't have that.
Johansson's probably the closest thing they have, but they need to go out and get more help at the forward position, and I think they will.
Right now Forsberg was supposed to be their best guy, and he didn't really do much. I had a question for you. Why didn't there's not like a Stanley Cup Finals MVP. The trophy is for the best player in the entire playoffs.
Right.
Why didn't that Gensel kid win the trophy then?
I think he's
because he's a rookie.
Well, part of it's reputation, and I do think ordinarily I would agree. They do weight it to the Stanley Cup, certainly. But, you know, I'm the one who said Crosby shouldn't have won it last year. I think when you look at this year, it's a lot of stuff he did outside of scoring goals. I mean, he scored goals, but he created so many opportunities. And, you know, I think you could have made
a rookie record for points in the playoffs.
Pretty amazing and deserved to be in the conversation. But I'm okay with Crosby winning this one. I just wish they could have taken last year's and given it to Phil Kessel, who deserved it last year. But, you know, that's the thing. Gensel he's going to be back next year. And the young guys who were great last year, Connor Sheary and, you know, guys like that. I mean, they just keep churning these young players. And at some point you have to pay them. And that's where it gets hard to keep doing it year in, year out. So.
Well, like I said, disappointing to watch them lose the way they did, but it made hockey fun for me for a year. I'm not a big hockey fan, but that made it at least interesting for me to watch.
Yeah, so. And you know what? At least maybe now you'll care a little bit more about them next year if they
maybe
make
so.
The playoffs.
Although it's damn near impossible to watch them on TV unless you have like that package.
Yeah, well, that's you know, of course I paid too much money for that package, but that's. It's all right.
I'm not looking to do that for sure. Because, I mean, I already know. Like, the other problem for me is it's on during basketball season.
Yeah.
And then.
But I'm less interested in regular season basketball. You watch a lot of college basketball, though.
Yeah, but the Rockets, not that I love watching them play, but it's kind of our job. So I end up watching a lot of Rockets games. And then, you know, what am I going to do on the nights when I paid a bunch of money for this stupid package and then I've got to watch the Rockets. I don't know.
Well, you'll find out there's not as much. Well, there wasn't as much overlap for me, and I was mostly watching Maple Leafs games.
Right.
But when it came down to it, I'd watch the Rockets, and then I'd flip over during the breaks to see how the game was going. So
I think my wife would be annoyed, too, if I started paying money to watch hockey.
Yeah, probably so.
I'll just watch if they make the playoffs again. All right, guys, I got to tell you about my computer career. If you've ever thought about, you know, wishing you could do it all over again, working with computers, thinking about how great the IT guys have it, well, it's not too late. You don't need a math or computer background to start an IT career. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. And you can see if an IT career is right for you. And it's free to check that out. Go to mycomputercareer.edu, take a free career computer or a free career evaluation and see if the computer industry is right for you. My Computer Career is where you can get trained for the high demand field of IT and start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 3 to 4 months. So 4 months from the time you start your school, you could have a job. That's awesome. You attend classes on campus or live online, and it's just twice a week. You're going to get everything you need to start your new career. It's more than just a school. They help you get into the industry because they partner with hundreds of employers that hire their students. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon, so go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. That's MyComputerCareer.edu. It's a scene about me. There's
something in your way, and now somebody's gonna pay. And if you can't get well, hello! To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Look
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. It's probably one of the, Stanley Cups last night. I can justify talking hockey briefly.
Hey, Jung, you see Wonder Woman yet?
No, not yet.
You see it, Fred?
I have not yet seen it, no.
I saw Wonder Woman this weekend.
Oh.
It's weird because I as I'm watching this movie, I'm thinking, okay, I'm thinking my thoughts. The movie ends, and my wife and both my kids are like, that movie was awesome. And I said, was it? And, of course, my wife, the first thing she thinks is I'm misogynist because a woman directed it and there's only a woman superhero in it. Mm. It's really not, because I really, like, the whole thing is I like Wonder Woman. I like the girl that plays Wonder Woman. I liked her as a character in Superman versus Batman. But about the first hour of Wonder Woman is stupid and hokey. And they've turned this DC universe into like this very serious world, you know, and it was just so out of place from everything else DC's done, at least in the last 7-8 years, that I just lost me a little bit. Now, like once and most of it was the origin story that I thought was stupid, and maybe like the 30 minutes after you learn about her origin. When the action started, like when the battle scene started, I thought it was pretty good. A little bit too much slow motion for me, but you know that's how they do superhero battle scenes now. But yeah, overall, I think maybe my expectations were too high for this Wonder Woman movie, and I wasn't like blown away by it.
Guess what? Then I'll wait for it because I was on the fence, and then a couple people said, "Oh, it's great! It's great! It's great!"
It's good.
And then I've heard a couple people say what you've just said, which it's okay. I mean, it's good. It's worth seeing, but
I've just found myself being annoyed because it was like corny and silly. And I wanted it to be like I don't know. I mean, it's a stupid comic book movie. I don't know why I'm so insistent that it's that way, but because they've presented Batman and Superman in that way. And she's supposed to be part of this same universe that I wanted the movie to be taken seriously. And like literally the first hour, it was like, this is stupid. So I was torn on it because it got better. But my wife and kids were like, that was awesome. And my wife was like disappointed that I didn't love it as much as she did.
Now, how do you feel about Guardians of the Galaxy versus like Captain America? Because they're in the same universe and one's more serious than the other one.
It's not about like the seriousness of the characters, because I mean, that's like funny characters, and I get it. Wonder Woman's not a funny character.
No,
it was unintentional humor, and it just wasn't like so for the. I guess this is a little bit of a spoiler alert. When Wonder Woman comes to the regular world, I mean, she just acts like she's so confused by everything, and it's obnoxious. I mean, it's like, you know, she wants to pull out her sword, or she wants to walk around through the streets of London with her sword and shield, and they spent like 5 minutes with her trying on clothes and how ridiculous it was for her to be in these, like, you know, World War II era garments. And I don't know. It was just hokey. I didn't like it. I don't like that.
Okay.
Well, the Guardians of the Galaxy, that's a funny movie. It's a comedy. And yes, it's in the same, and I understand that, like, but Iron Man movies are funnier than Captain America movies. You know, there's certain genres of comic books you expect some humor from. You expect Spider-Man to be a little campier than Captain America.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because Spider-Man's more of like a he's a kid. He's a jokey character. But Wonder Woman is not. Like, and especially with how she was presented to us in Batman vs. Superman, like, I expected this to be a serious ass-kicking movie. And granted, once she got started kicking ass, it was badass. But it just took so long to get to that, and it was really annoying to wait for it.
So you don't like that fish out of water kind of story?
No, I hate that. I hate that.
346 says they bash Batman and Superman so badly for being overly serious.
No, so, I like that. I didn't bash either one of those.
No,
in fact,
but
I
did
the,
get they did get ripped for that.
Yeah,
which I
like the
with.
Batman vs Superman movie that everyone else told me sucked. I thought it was pretty good, and this one everybody says is so great, and I'm like, it's good. I don't know. I mean, by the time you take your family out, it's, you know, 50 something bucks. I don't know if it's that good.
Right.
That didn't even count popcorn. My kid eats so much popcorn. My little kid. My big kid doesn't eat it. The little one can eat a whole large popcorn by himself. He's 5 years old. I don't know how he does it. And all he really eats is like fruits. His whole diet is berries and popcorn.
Interesting.
I guess he's balancing that out. I guess he's healthy and
what food group is popcorn?
I mean, it's corn.
It's vegetables, right? Yeah, vegetables.
Because corn isn't really a vegetable. It's not. There's not four basic food groups anymore. There's like nine, and corn is one of those. It's a gray area. I was supposed to have a. Speaking of food groups, I was supposed to do a baseball tournament this weekend, and my kid's tournament got canceled. So on Saturday. Did a barbecue road trip.
Yeah, we were talking about that at the poker tournament that you had checked in and had gotten another one on the list.
Five. Knocked out five in one day.
Nice.
It was, my son and I, my oldest son, we left the house at 5:45 a.m. and we got home at 4:30 p.m. and we hit up five barbecue spots.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of driving, but we got to Lexington, which is where Snow's is, and that was the number one place on that Texas Monthly list.
Yeah.
And they open at 8 a.m. They're open one day a week on Saturday. It's from 8 a.m. till they run out of food. We got there at 7:20, and we were probably about 60th in line. We got our food at about 9:20, I would say, 9:30. So once they opened... they're not in a rush.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that. We knew we were going to stand in line at that place. It was the top spot, and there's always a line there. But there were 60 people in front of us. There was probably about 200 people behind me.
Wow.
I mean, it was in Lexington. I don't know if you've ever been to Lexington. There's nothing there. Main Street is... A street that people park their cars in the ditch on the side of, you have to like take turns letting one car go through and then you can go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Lexington. And there was a ton of people there to eat that barbecue. It was legit.
A lot of people, Jai said, good thing you don't feel strongly about Wonder Woman. Swan says she's been on an island but with nothing but women and she was the only child she'd ever seen.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll wait until I see it. I like the darkness of Batman versus Superman. I really did. I thought that movie was better than it got credit for. You're right. I just don't think of her as a campy, funny character.
She's not. She's not supposed to be.
Well, she kind of is in the comics. She does play a whole. If you watch DC cartoons, and if you read the comic books, she plays this whole fish out of water kind of character.
You know what else she's supposed to be? Like 6'9" and a giant, and she's like half the size of Batman. So that part pissed me off too when I saw Batman.
She's
kind of
close to Ben Affleck's size,
but not on camera.
Yeah.
Maybe the two of them in real life. But when they're on camera, they make Batman look so much bigger.
Oh, and Ben Affleck is 6'5".
Wonder Woman's supposed to be a giant. She's not that big.
713 wants to know, does the barbecue road trip include a gas station toilet road trip?
Actually, it did. And you know how I feel about that. And that was the downfall of my plan.
No Buc-ee's?
No. We were on back roads for the most part. And I didn't plan out properly my pooping schedule. And so I got up. My alarm went off at 5:20 a.m., which is obviously much earlier than I normally wake up. You guys know I like to sleep. I stay up late and I sleep late. We talked about that on the show. So my alarm going off at 5:20, like normally first thing I do when I wake up is poop. But it was too early for me to poop. I didn't have any caffeine yet. So I just wasn't in a poop position. And got started on the road trip. We got to Snow's. And all they have is porta potties. And of course, I was like, oh, that's not happening.
Right.
Then we got to Taylor next, which was Louis Miller Barbecue is there. And it's like in an old gymnasium, like a really old gymnasium, like a school gym.
Yeah.
And their plumbing situation was really iffy. And I was just like, I'll just wait until we get to the next spot. And it was about an hour and a half drive to the next spot. And I wasn't going to make it. And it hit me hard. And I had to stop at a gas station in Hearn.
Ooh.
Oh, it was so gross. And, I mean, I did what I could. It was one of those gas stations. It was a unisex bathroom.
Did you hover?
No, but...
You put all the paper down on it, though?
Well, because it was one of those... This is what I did. This is how pathetic I am. It was one of those bathrooms where all the cleaning supplies are in the bathroom also.
Yeah.
So I cleaned the toilet myself before I used, like I found that there's spray.
I feel less weird now because I've done that before in those kind of places.
And used all the paper towels. And luckily they had a bunch of hand sanitizer and stuff like that. But the bathroom, like it didn't have a door handle. You just had to open it. And then when you shut it, you had to latch the little latch. And of course I'm trying to poop and some kid's banging on the door. And it was the worst. Worst case scenario, and I should have planned better knowing I was going to eat all that meat, but I was excited. I was enjoying myself too much, and then it hit me.
I can't believe your body can process all that barbecue so fast. I mean, it's usually supposed to take, 7 to 9 hours to digest?
Right, but also keep in mind, like I said, I didn't poop. My pooping time is normally in the morning, and I didn't use that time, and then I stuffed a bunch of meat into my guts, and that was the error of my ways. If you're going to do 5 barbecue places in one spot in one day, and I told myself I was going to limit myself. I was going to get like maybe a half a pound to 3/4 of a pound at each place. First place, I waited in line for so long. I was like, I'm not just going to get like a little bit. And it was the number one place. So I ended up with like probably about 3.5 pounds of meat between me and my kid, who, by the way, does not eat nearly enough to help out. And so I eat all that, and then I was hurting the rest of the day because I was already full of meat. And so by the time my stomach's so full of meat, and then when that morning's time hit me, I mean, it was brutal. I finally got right about yesterday mid-afternoon.
Well, it was worth it. Lamont wants to know if you're hitting all these food places up for Culture Map. I was going to suggest you should do your own rankings when you're done with them and describe each place. And if they won't put it on Culture Map, we'll put it on Sports Map.
Okay. Maybe I will.
All right.
I can show David Gow that he needs to fire Eric Sandler.
All right.
And all of you need to email him and say that he should fire Eric Sandler, by the way.
All right.
Don't tell him it was my idea.
We'll take some phone calls when we come back at 713-780-3776. Right now, Father's Day is this Sunday. Dads are super hard to shop for. The challenge is to get him a great-looking gift that is useful and doesn't break the bank. Harry's has you covered. And there's still time to get Dad the perfect gift from Harry's. No matter who you're buying for this year, save money with Harry's with a special offer for the Blitzers. Just use coupon code BLITZ at checkout. You'll save $5 off your set. And this set is terrific. The Father's Day set they have comes in a great gift box. And it looks really cool. So it really gives the illusion that you put a lot of work into this. Well, all you did was go to harrys.com and get them a great deal. 5 German crafted blades, flex hinge lubricating strip, fully refundable if you're not happy. And they're less than $2 a blade. I mean, it's amazing. The limited edition set includes the black razor, a Chrome Razor stand, Harry's moisturizing foaming shave gel, three of Harry's handcrafted blade cartridges, and a travel cover. And again, that sleek box, man, makes all the difference. Go to harrys.com right now and redeem a special offer for fans of the show. Harry's will give you $5 off your purchase with promo code BLITZ. Don't wait. Father's Day is this Sunday and time is running out. Order today, harrys.com. Enter code BLITZ at checkout to get $5 off.
I know what to do when I'm about to poo. I go to the potty, pull my underwear down, and then I sit and wait, sit and wait, sit and wait until the poop plops down.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Squeeze in a phone call. We'll let Kyle lead it off today. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, big fan of the show. I've got a question. With the Pens winning another Stanley Cup back-to-back, and then, of course, the Patriots and Golden State and Cleveland, do you see a shift in not just professional sports but all of sports, Alabama and Clemson as an example? Are the days of the dark horse and Cinderella over? And are you, if you're kind of at the bottom of the totem pole, are you just, you know, hoping and praying, or are the dynasties just going to forever dominate?
I mean, when you think about it, I mean, how close was Nashville to winning this thing? That would have
It's a fair point. Right away. I think it's a fair point, though, and certainly in the NBA, we knew who was in the finals all year long.
Yeah, that no doubt.
And the Patriots are pretty much there every year. You have other teams jump up, but the one thing, and to his point, over the last 9 years,
the same teams are winning.
Yeah, the Bruins,
like LA, Chicago,
LA, Chicago, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has three. Chicago has three. LA has two. The only team that broke that was Boston. But if you look at teams that made the finals, it's a different team every year. And you had a 16 seed get there this year and had a legitimate chance to win the Stanley Cup, and that beat the best team in the West in the first round, swept them, and then went on through some pretty tough series. I mean, that kind of stuff. And Ottawa getting as far as
I think it's easier for there to be dynasties in these leagues where there's best of seven series, because typically in the best of seven, eventually the talent's going to win out. That's why in football, when a team has a dynasty, it's so impressive, because I mean, you lose one game, you're out of the playoffs in football.
Right.
And the same with March Madness, you know, you lose once, that's it. So it's easier to create these dynasty type teams. I mean, especially if you've just got more talent than everybody. Not that I don't think Pittsburgh was. I mean, was Pittsburgh the favorite to win the whole thing going in?
It was Washington. I think Washington was the favorite out of the East, and Washington was probably the most complete and most talented team. But they have a real problem getting by Pittsburgh, and it showed. But I don't think it's quite there in hockey, because almost every year you see a team that, well, hell, Toronto had the number one pick last year, and this year they made the playoffs. You see somebody jump up pretty much every year that you don't expect. And for me, that team was Ottawa this year. I didn't expect them to make the playoffs, and certainly not to get to the conference finals. And then you had a 16 seed go all the way. So I don't know. I mean, I think it looks that way on the surface, because you've also got, I think the Kings were they're a little different than the Blackhawks and the Penguins are, because the Blackhawks have two of the best players in the world, and they build around those guys, really three if you count Duncan Keith. And the same thing with Pittsburgh, but it's hard to get more guys than that. So you really need to have your, rookies come up and do something. And that's kind of what's happened to the Blackhawks the last couple of years. They haven't had they've had some guys come up, but they haven't had the impact that they were hoping for. 713-780-ESPN. Let's do one more. Drew. What's up, Drew?
Hello. Hey, guys.
Hey, sports, Drew.
Hey, sports, guys. Love the show. I was calling in. I had an experience over a trip. I had a family vacation, took my kids to Vegas on Monday. And
guys, I don't know, y'all fly to Vegas more than I do. Is it common that people indulge in alcohol prior or after the trip to the point of, you know, throwing up? Is that common when you go drive or fly out there?
Yes.
Yeah, sadly it is.
It's really, okay.
People, first for me,
I've never seen it. And this is 9:30 in the morning, leaving, you know, push. Guy next to me, and I'm stoked. I'm in the middle seat. Seat next to me is not taken, so I got extra leg room to, you know, move over. The guy next to me starts ordering two shots of Jack and a Coke, and he's ordering them by the dozen. I think he ordered me about 10. So halfway through the flight, the guy's having a good time. He's calling these women behind him. They're solid threes, and he's telling them they're the most beautiful women that he's seen in a while. So I'm having a good time with that. I think it's funny. Well, as we're getting ready to land, the guy starts looking nauseous and sweating. So I start getting nervous because I'm the seat next to him. I'm his closest target.
You're in the drop zone. You're in the drop zone.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Keep going.
Okay, sorry. So the guy starts barfing, and he's trying to hide it. So he puts it in his cola that he brought from the airport. And it's disgusting. He's just throwing up in this little water bottle, this Coke bottle. And I'm starting to freak out. Finally, the plane starts to land. The guy just leans over and barfs all over the side. The stewardess, they're trying to pick him up. He gets starts sweating even more. He gets up, and I guess he was so blitzed that he forgot he barked in the soda bottle. He picks it up and starts drinking it to try to calm himself down. And the whole time I'm thinking of AJ's trip, I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm just barely getting to Vegas, and this is already how it's welcome.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, guys. I wanted to share that story with you.
Yeah, it's the truth is, going to Vegas, people start drinking, and on the way back, they're either, if it's at 9 a.m. flight or 6 a.m. flight, they'll either still be drunk from the night before, so they'll drink then, and God forbid you ever get on a red eye, because that's where people get the most drunk, and that's the one I'm always trying to sleep, and you never can because it's so loud. That's just Vegas, and not much you can do about it. Unfortunately, though, I guarantee you, what is there, 4 or 5 flights a day that United has to Vegas? I guarantee you there's a barf on,
I'm sure, on
one
most
a day.
Of them.
One a day at least. All right, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. And right now, got to tell you about another great Father's Day gift, Omaha Steaks. The perfect Father's Day gift for only $59.99. You can get this limited time Father's Day package. You still have time. You just need to go to omahasteaks.com. Enter code FRED in the search bar to apply the savings. Here's what they're giving you. 68% off of what you would pay for this normally. It gets delivered right to your door. It's convenient. So this is easy. You can get it sent to whoever you want. You get a choice of either a 30-ounce T-bone or 4 6-ounce tender filet mignon. So one or the other. With that, you get 4 all-beef Omaha steaks, ground beef sliders, 4 award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, 4 potatoes au gratin, a 2-pound premium New York cheesecake, a jar of signature steak seasoning, plus you get 4 additional ground beef sliders for free. I'm not good at math, but I think that adds up to 8 ground beef sliders. Again, get this limited-time package for only $59.99. When you go to omahasteaks.com, type FRED in the search bar and add a Father's Day package to your cart. Don't wait! This offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type FRED in the search bar, grab your dad, and fire up the grill.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them live at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. And Warriors-Cavs coverage begins at 7 tonight. Also, want to thank everybody who came down to Mint Poker on Saturday for the tournament. About 3 tables. It's a nice setup down there. If you haven't had a chance to go yet, go check them out. And a lot of nice people played. It was a lot of fun. And enjoyed it. We'll be definitely getting back down there and We'll be having more blitz tournaments in the future. We're still kind of working out what all we're going to do with them, but appreciate everybody who came down and played. And then went home and watched the Belmont, which I did catch the exact on, helped make up for some of the other stuff that didn't go right. But I'm still getting so much hatred from people over selling picks, and I'm kind of at the point where, okay, here's what's going to happen. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to keep doing it, because the one thing I don't have is the flexibility to make changes based on track condition and things like that throughout the day. And like there was a late scratch Saturday and I had my picks up Friday. So basically I just had to take him off the ticket, and so it's hard to change things. And then, you know, so I don't know if I'm going to keep doing it, but if I don't keep doing it, I'm not going to give out the trifectas for free anymore either. So that's kind of where I am on it. I just haven't decided what I'm going to do, but I won't be, I'm not going to go back to, yeah, here's the place for free. That's not going to happen. That's it. That was basically my weekend. The wife was sick, so we didn't do anything. Hung around, got caught up on all the TV. So I'm finally 100% caught up, just in time to leave town.
There you go.
And watched the first Orphan Black. It was meh. But a bunch of stuff's ending. So there's like two more Better Call Sauls. No, one more Better Call Saul.
Is that it?
Next week is it. There's two.
Not one tonight?
Well, I guess tonight is it then. Yeah. I think that's a season ender.
It pissed
there's
me
two
off
more Fargos, and then there's one more American Gods.
It pissed me off that they didn't do a Better Call Saul on Memorial Day.
Yeah.
I was like, what happened to my DVR? Something's wrong. I couldn't find it. Yeah, it was. I don't know why you would do that.
Yeah, well, more not so good news for your Astros. Lance McCullers on the 10-day DL. Pitching's already a mess right now.
And yeah, I mean, there's nothing.
That doesn't help.
You're in full-on hope and pray mode at this point. I mean, the rotation now is there's not one guy in the starting rotation that you planned on being in the starting rotation at the beginning of the year. So, apparently McCullers went in yesterday and had, like, some lower back pain, and they thought maybe he was going to miss a start. Well, looks like he's going to hit the DL. So, yeah, not a good position for the Astros. Luckily, they've got a massive lead.
Right.
But, so, at least one time through, though, your rotation is Musgrove today, Peacock, Martez, Fires, Paulino. I mean, it sounds like the Astros rotation 4 years ago.
Yeah. And as much as we were banging on Fires.
Oh, he pitched well this week.
He's actually a couple in a row now. He's pitched well, and you're going to need that. But you know, they've got enough offense to overcome some of this, but you're also starting to see why you're losing two out of three in a series now when you're throwing that kind of, I won't say talent out there, but you're throwing out guys who weren't supposed to be starting for you. And that's just, you know, not good.
But like we said, I mean, that's why it's great for the Astros that they played such great ball early in the season. You got a 12-game cushion. You can fade a week or two of this, you know?
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world. If by the time your rotation gets healthy, you've got a 7 or 8 game lead in the division.
Yeah, exactly. 713-780-ESPN. Also, some more bad news. Our buddy Vince Young, torn hamstring.
Oh, no.
They had their first preseason game Saturday. I was looking forward to, you know, trying to follow it a little bit and see what he did. Nope, he torn hammy 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, man.
Which, that's what happens when you're an old man, I guess.
Well.
It's too bad. Oh, well. It's an 18-game season. I bet he winds
He'll
up playing
find
at
his
some
way
point.
Back.
Yeah,
dream team.
That's right.
Do you still have the Axpanic one, John?
Dream team.
Axpanic.
Axpanic. That's my favorite.
Oh man.
How about Mac Daddy? Should the Texans look at Decker? Eric Decker got released by the Jets today. I don't know. If you saw Eric Decker play last year, he didn't play a lot. But when you did see him, he wasn't very useful. I don't know. He seems to me like a broken down guy at this point. And another another cautionary tale of sometimes the quarterback makes the receiver.
Yeah.
And I lean no, but I feel like they've got enough guys that with more upside at this point than a 30-year-old Eric Decker.
I'm kind of with you. I mean, at some point you've got to see what you have with Will Fuller. You've got to hope Braxton Miller becomes a
Jalen Strong.
You know, I mean, those guys. You know, I think if they're not going to work out for you,
you've invested so much in that position via the draft that you've got to figure out which ones of those guys are useful.
Okay, correction. Danny Mata says there's still two more episodes of Better Call Saul tonight and next week.
Thank you.
Good, good. So two of those, two of Fargo's. Well, in Fargo, they did it the only one more episode until the season finale.
Yeah.
I hate when they do that. But, yeah, so there's two there, and then American Gods ends this week. So, all right.
Got our man Aubrey Theodi on the line with Dirt Free Carpet. Aubrey, how goes it, man?
Hey, guys. Beautiful afternoon.
Not bad, huh?
Not bad at all. It's summertime is in full gear, and 281 Dirt Free is an easy number to remember. Guys, for those honeydew days, it's Father's Day. So don't get honeydewed snookered into doing the tile or grout or repairs, carpet, wool rugs, tapestry drapes, your air duct returns. Don't forget those blasted air duct returns. Those things fill up with debris. The filter sucks in, or you have a kink filter or something like that, and it fills your return up. If you don't stay on top of that, your coil gets clogged, then your light bill is all of a sudden an extra $180 a month more, and you really can't put a finger on it. But it's because the debris, dirt, grime that gets on the coil. We can get up there, clean the coil for you. I'm telling you, an average two-system home sees a $100, $150 reduction in their light bill.
Nice.
Just because the air is flowing through that coil cool. Like a radiator on your car, if it's got mud in it, dust in it, it won't cool that car. So dial 281 Dirt Free for all those honeydew list eliminations. Eliminate them. 281 Dirt Free, dirtfreecarpet.com. No soaps, chemical residues, or tap water. The, you know, mom loves no chemicals whatsoever. Well, you just can't say no chemicals. You know, all the carpet cleaners trying to copy my ads in the last 20 years. But you just can't say, oh, I don't use chemicals. No, you have to build, create, invent tools that let you eliminate high alkalinity soaps. You have to have the equipment. You have to have the machinery. You have to have your own pre-spot that's pretty darn near neutral, 8.5, 9 on the pH scale. Pick up the phone, 281 Dirt Free. We'll start in the worst area. If you don't love us, if what I say on the radio is not true, then you don't pay us. So we'll run at the problem, start in the worst spot. Three rooms, $100, and we've got specials for tile, grout, leather, drapes, upholstery. If you get any of the added services done, we'll give you a free room of carpet cleaning. So dial 281 Dirt Free, first 10 callers only. That's not a year from now. You send a message. Right now, the first 10 callers will get an extra area on the added services for free and three rooms, or just three rooms for $100.
There you go. That's Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. Appreciate it, Aubrey. And first 10 callers, get in now. We'll talk to you next week, bud.
281 Dirt Free.
ESPN 97.5.